many believes in an unseen world, supernatural? Do you really? Do you really? Well, maybe I don't need to teach this then. Over the next 4 weeks, counting this week, we're going to be talking about supernatural issues. Today, what I want to talk about is the reality of a supernatural and unseen world. What I want to also talk about today is some spiritual warfare, how the enemy comes and just messes us up. We'll talk about that today. Next week, we want to talk about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, maybe. Okay. Talk about that. Next week, I want to talk about the doctrine of the devil, the doctrine, you know, about him and where he's from and who he is and what he does. We're going to talk about that the third week, and then the fourth week. Talk about angels and how they come into our lives and play out a part with us. Now, I think that the church makes two huge errors when it talks about and messes with supernatural things. The first thing, as you heard me say this before, is this pendulum thing that swings all the way to one side where everything's a demon. You know, everything that goes on, there's a demon behind every bush and in every tree. It's so far right or wherever, whichever direction it swings. You know, somebody loses their job and at work and it's the devil. It's the demon. In reality, they laid out, they didn't do what they were supposed to do, they did an insufficient job, and they got fired. Now, it had nothing to do with the devil. It had everything to do with laziness, right? And then there's the other way this swings, is where, and this is much more normal today, and even in the church, is where it's never mentioned, it's never talked about. It's like there is no demons, there is no devil, and if there is one, he doesn't have any power. Now, the only thing to me that's worse than everything's a demon is going to the extreme where there is no demon. Because that way, you're opening up a huge, huge door for him just to come in and just mess your life up. So we're going to be talking about these things over the next few weeks. Now, Hollywood does a better job of teaching and stirring us up about the supernatural than does the church. Am I right? You know, they portray the supernatural as ugly faces and wizards and magic. They portray it as Harry Potter and as the Golden Compass. You know, this is Hollywood's portrayal of it, but at least they portray it as something. The church hardly ever mentions it anymore. But what I want to say to you today is this, is that Harry Potter and the Golden Compass and wizards and magic and those guys are not what you're really fighting with. Okay, you're going to see that's got very, very little to do with any kind of spirituality and truth that you and I deal with. The enemy would love us just to think that was it. So anyway, let's get started. The first thought in spiritual warfare is that this is a very real war between two very real kingdoms. Now let's read some scriptures. Oh, that was good. In spiritual warfare is that this is a very real war between two very real kingdoms. Now let's read some scriptures. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 3 through 4. Paul says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. If we are alive and in the world, we are in a war. There is a real war no matter if you believe there is a war or not. In fact, the enemy would love you to believe there is no war. There are no demons today, and there is no devil." Paul goes on, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. We're given weapons to fight this war. The war is raging, and both sides have very real and very powerful weapons." What are the weapons? I want to show you. He goes on writing, and he says, "On the contrary, the weapons that we've been given have divine power to demolish strongholds." Our targets are strongholds, but what are the strongholds? They're not cities, and they're not nations. He goes on telling us what the strongholds are. He says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge." It has to do with your thinking. "The knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We're after thoughts. The strongholds are every argument and imagination, King James Version says, that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, the things of God, the ways of God. Paul talked about taking prisoners or captives in a war. We have prisoners and we have captives, and these are the enemies, right? You need to see that. what your enemy is, not who your enemy is. Paul said, we take captive every thought. Please don't miss that. The enemy's shooting at you and bombing you and in hand-to-hand combat with you and wanting to take you out or take you captive or prisoner are your thoughts, your imaginations, your pretensions. The goal of the war is to capture every thought. That's the enemy. That's the enemy, and to make that enemy obedient to Christ. This is the nuts and bolts of spiritual warfare. There is no need to go further talking about it until you realize it's not about ugly faces and wizards and magic. It's not about Harry Potter or Democrats or Republicans or Rosie O'Donnell. It's not about flesh and blood. It's about you. And it's about your thoughts. It's about you capturing your thoughts. It's about training your children to capture their thoughts. That's spiritual warfare. It's the war between dark thoughts, the kingdom of darkness, and enlightened thoughts, the kingdom of light. That's what spiritual warfare is all about. So let's begin right there. I'm not real sure about Rosie O'Donnell. Now that might be. First thing that I've got to get across to you in spiritual warfare, and this is on your fill-in, the first fill-in I'll have for you tonight if you're taking notes with me, is the first point to grasp in spiritual warfare is your primary enemies are your thoughts. Now, in the video, I use the term dark thoughts. Now, I don't mean just lustful thoughts or only evil thoughts. If you're a person who struggles with thoughts of depression, that's dark. If you're a person who has fear that something bad is going to happen to you, that's dark. It's a controlling, possessing thought. If you're a person who fears disease or getting sick, that's a dark thought. You see, and these things come to you and they control you. They possess you. And when they come at us like this and they possess us, that's not of the kingdom of light. Anything that possesses your mind and controls your day is not God. That's of the kingdom of darkness. So that's the first thing that I really want us to get. Now, the war is about people. The war is a war that's bringing people, rescuing people from the kingdom of darkness or dark thoughts and bringing them into the kingdom of light or enlightened thoughts. Let me show you this. First, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "For he has rescued us." Has, past tense, has rescued us, if you're a believer, has rescued us from the one who rules. Now, the one who rules is called several names in the scriptures. He's Satan, he's the devil. In the book of Revelation, he's the dragon, he's the evil one, he's the tempter. So this is the person, the one who rules in the kingdom of darkness, dark thoughts. And he has brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. Jesus has brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. Notice this is all past tense. If you're waiting on a kingdom to come, you're missing the kingdom. You say, because the kingdom is here right now. And hopefully you have been brought into it and rescued from the kingdom of darkness. The war is over you. It's about you. You are the prize. Your children are the prize. Whoever wins the war wins you, wins your children, wins your grandchildren, wins your loved ones. This is what the war is about. It's over people. And Satan has a plan to come. And Jesus wants to come and set us free. And Satan, or the tempter, or the evil one, the wicked one, he wants to come and capture us and put us in bondage and in slavery. Now, it's amazing to me how we think of this today. Most people think that serving God is bondage. You got to do this, this, and this. You got 10 commandments. You got all this stuff you got to do, right? You got to go to church. You got to pray. You got to do all this stuff. And we call that bondage. In reality, that's freedom. Because it sets you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But we get it so confused. It's amazing how we get this stuff backwards. Now, the second thought, that was the first thought. The second thought about spiritual warfare that I want to get across to us today is realizing this. Here's another fill-in for you. Is realizing the devil has big plans. Say big plans. Big plans. The devil has big plans for you. I want you to get this. This is very interesting to me, and I really want to communicate it. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor." We're going to talk about the armor later. "Full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." As a fill-in, I need you to say that word back to me, schemes. Schemes. The devil's schemes, plural. Don't miss that. He's going to come at you more than once. He's got more than one plan to destroy you. Schemes. For our struggle is not against Hollywood or Democrats or Republicans or Harry Potter. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, plural. Against the authorities, plural. Against the powers, plural. Of this dark, supernatural world. That's where it's happening. Dark, supernatural, or this dark world. And against the spiritual forces, again, plural. Of evil. Now look at this. In the heavenly realms, or in the supernatural realms. Now what I'm really wanting us to get, and again that was plural, what I'm wanting us to get here is in the heavenly realms is where all of these schemes in heaven, in the heavenly dimension, is where all of these schemes by these principalities and these rulers are devised against you and I. They're being devised. And let me show you what the, well, just tell you what the New Living Translation says. It says for schemes, it says strategy and tricks. The King James Version says wiles of the devil. Now, all of this is going on, all these powers and rulers and stuff. So this is why Paul says you've got to be strong in the Lord. You're not strong enough on your own to go against all of that. Have you seen that game show, One Against 100? It's more than that. You got a whole lot more powers, rulers, principalities, authorities, realms, schemes. All this is coming against you. You've got to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. You got to have the armor of God. You are not strong enough or powerful enough to go against this by yourself or on your own. There's a mighty power that the Lord gives us. The devil has schemes, and his ultimate purpose of all of his schemes is to destroy you. He's going to mess you up all the way, but his ultimate plan is to destroy you. Schemes to destroy you. Schemes, plans, tricks to destroy your family, your marriage. Schemes to destroy your children. Schemes to destroy your relatives, your loved ones, your friends. All of this is happening in this supernatural world. In this supernatural, heavenly dimension is where this stuff's going on. It's happening by spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, God's got a plan for you, doesn't He? But I'm not talking about God's plan. I'm talking to you about Satan's plan to scheme and to destroy you. We're told of a time where Jesus was tempted. And it's a scheme. I want you to get this point. A time when he was tempted of the devil. The Bible says that he had just been baptized by John the Baptist. And he stood now having heaven opened and being declared, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Holy Spirit came and rested upon him and remained. He was standing at the very door of what his purpose in life was to be. He was standing there ready to step into it. And he was led into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days to be tested or tempted of the devil. Remember the story, right? Now, I want you to see this in this scripture because it was a planned scheme. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "And when," would you repeat "when" back to me? "When there is a planned time." There's a timing in your being tempted. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" Now notice, this is a very personalized temptation. That's not a temptation for me. I cannot turn a stone into bread. Neither can you. But Jesus could. See, it was personalized. It was a temptation set just for him at a specific time in his life when he was both the weakest. He had fasted for 40 days. The Bible says he was hungry. He was at this point in his life, but yet at the same point at that time when he was the weakest, he was ready to step into what he was created to do in his life, to make an impact on the world. What I'm trying to relay to you and tell you is that when your temptations come, they're going to come at you and come to you at a time when you're both the weakest, but at the same time, at a moment in your time where you're about to step into your full potential. It's a timed scheme. It's a scheme set to tempt you, to stop you. And I want to make a statement to you, and I'm hoping it's an eye-opener as I'm on this point. You see, just as God has a heavenly plan for your success, the devil has a plan too, a heavenly plan for your destruction. We hear a lot about God's plan for us, especially here. We hardly ever hear that there's a plan for your destruction. But if you realize that there is one, now you're starting to understand spiritual warfare. There is a plan to stop you and to destroy you. Now, how does the devil devise these schemes? This is what I really want to try to get into today. How does he so easily get us to fall into his schemes? How does he do this? So I want to give you five things. There's a lot of ways he does it, but I want to give you five things that each and every one of us here have been hit with. As I go through these, think about your life. Think about how it's worked in your life, and you'll see how the devil has already hit you. And some of you, he's hitting right now, this moment. Let's watch and see. All right, the first thing that he does to all of us is he blinded the minds. He blinds the minds. Take that down. Write that down. Blinds the mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes, Satan, the god, lowercase g, the god of this evil world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Now, when he does this, we can't see the gospel. We can't see the good news. We can't see what it's about that is shining upon us. They don't understand. Again, it's the thinking. It's the thoughts. When he blinds the minds, he's messing with our thinking and our thoughts. So they don't understand the message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is the exact image of God. How many of you have ever really tried, maybe come to church, or maybe listened to a CD or on television, or gone to a message or to church somewhere and listened to a message? It was pretty good. Preacher, pretty good message. But and you're sitting there and trying and focusing and thinking, you're listening. And suddenly you realize that your mind's not even here. It's back home where you had that fight with your spouse before you left. Or it's at work where you had this situation going on at work. Or maybe it's just a block away down at Don Lolo's and you're waiting to get done so you can go eat. How many has ever had that happen? You really wanted to hear it. It was pretty good and it was pretty interesting. But you realized just about that fast that, whoa, my mind's not even here. Okay, what's just happened? He has blinded your mind. It's happened to some of you already today. He hits us. He comes and he blinds our mind. Now, this is a major struggle. It's a struggle for all of us. It's a struggle for the believer. It's difficult to sit and pay attention and get it. But it's a major struggle for those that don't believe, for those that are far from God, or those that are coming in here. It's a major struggle to keep their mind focused so that this doesn't happen to them. So I do everything that I possibly can to try to keep you focused in here. I do the slides and I do the videos and this stuff going on behind me. And, you know, and we try to do some stuff and try to keep it cold in here so you won't go to sleep. And, you know, we try to do some things like that just to help you, because I realize you are in a battle sitting right there to keep your mind here and to get this stuff. So one of the first things that he does to us is blind the minds. The second thing that we want to see that he does is he'll steal God's word from you. He'll steal God's word from you. Have you ever heard a good truth, you know, maybe from me or a tape or a video or a CD or a DVD or something, you know, you heard a good teaching and you said, wow, that's good. I'm going to do that one. I'm going to apply that to my life. And, you know, a couple of hours pass and you think, now, what was it? What was it that he said? What was it that I was going to do? What was that? It's gone. What's happened? And how many is like on Monday, you go to work or school, wherever you go, and somebody asks you, well, what did the preacher talk about yesterday? And you go, it was good. It was good. He's always good. But that ever happened? How many has that happened to? Come on. What's happened? He has snatched, he has stolen God's word from you. Matthew 13:19, Jesus says here, when anyone, when who? Can this happen to anyone? When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and what? Snatches, takes away what was sown in his or her heart. That's what happened to it. What happened to it? Schemes. He has schemes and he comes. These are his schemes. He'll come and he'll blind the minds and he'll take the word of God away from us. He'll steal it from us. The third thing that he does is he sets traps to ensnare us. He'll ensnare you. When I was a boy growing up in Griffin, Georgia, we lived off on 155, had a farm and we raised cows and stuff. And I would go out and make myself a little extra money by trapping wild rabbits. Now, the people that I would sell these to didn't want them shot up, you know, didn't want BB shot all in them. They wanted a good, clean, good-eating rabbit. And so I would trap them. I would make me a rabbit box about 2.5, 3 feet long. And I don't know if you've ever seen one or not, just a little box and a little trap door and thing. Rabbit goes in, bait it. And I would make these little traps, and I would put me some bait in there that I knew they loved to eat. Now, people might think carrots or lettuce for rabbits. Nah, apples. They love apples. Put you an apple in there. And these silly little rabbits, I'd put them on their trail. They'd come hopping along and hop right into my little trap. And I pretty easily was able to catch them. And this is what Satan does to us, except you're the rabbit. And you're hopping along. How many's ever had this happen to you? Hopping along the trail of life, you know. And then here's something off here just sitting right here. And it's very appetizing. And it touches your weaknesses. And silly you, just hop right in there. And he's got you right where he wants you. He's got you trapped. We're like those silly little rabbits. Maybe, for example, you're feel like you're getting addicted to maybe prescription drugs. Not bad drugs, just prescription drugs. And you say, I got to get myself off of this, man. I can't think. I can't function. It's messing me up. And the doctor, though, he gives you this prescription, and it makes it so easy, so appetizing, and you just hop right into the prescription store and get your apple. And maybe it's like this. You've decided, you know, I am going to break from looking at pornography. I can't. It's messing my mind up, messing my thought life up, and I'm going to break off. And you're driving down the road, and there's this billboard with this naked woman on it. I mean, you know, or nearly. Well, see, it appetizes. Just hop right in there. There you go again. These things happen to us, and it's what the enemy does to us. You say, well, I'm going to stop talking about people. I know I shouldn't be talking about people. I know it upsets the Lord, and I'm going to stop talking about people. And what happens? Your best friend calls you on the telephone or comes up to you and starts talking about somebody, and you just hop right in there. And there you go again. And this is what he does to us. He has these schemes. Now you got to think about the timing of this stuff and how it works on you. It's personalized for you. It's timed just for you. Just when you say, I'm going to stop it, here's an apple. You just hop right in there. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, it says this. Paul the apostle writes, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap. Once you're in the trap, now you got to escape from it. Escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. So what he does is he blinds our minds. He steals the word of God for us, and he sets traps for us. These are his schemes. Number four, he schemes to stop us. Stop us. You know, maybe you hear a good lesson, and, you know, maybe it's about getting out of debt. You know, that's God's will. I know. God wants us out of debt. So I'm going to get out of debt. Well, what happens next week? Your car engine just explodes. Right? I mean, it just, you've made the decision, you're going to do it, and the washer goes out. And now you got to take that money and put it into debt. This is how he does this thing. Maybe you've made a decision. I'm going to start giving and tithing and giving alms like I'm supposed to. I know this is God's will, and I know that I should be doing this. And so you make up the decision. You make the decision you're going to do this. And that week, you find some preacher on television who's done some unethical things with money. Amazing, the timing and how it's patterned just to get to you. How about this one? You know, you make your mind up. I'm going to make my marriage better. I'm tired of fussing and fighting. I'm tired of arguing and screaming. I'm tired of doing all this stuff. And then the next day, you have the fight of the decade. Anybody ever had that happen to other than who you're looking at? Huh? you go. Think about it. It's a scheme. It's an enemy's plan to come and to do us. How about this one? The pastor is going to do this whole series on the supernatural realm, and I'm sick, and I can't go to church. Could that be? Amazing, the timing of this thing. I really wanted to hear that. It's amazing how it works. Now, you got to think, you know, don't just blame everything on the devil. You know, it could possibly be that you haven't changed the oil in your car for 5 years. You know, I mean, but you can't discard the timing of the thing and how you've made your mind up to do this. And wham, he comes and he stops us. 1 Thessalonians 2:18 says this, Paul the Apostle, we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. How many times did Paul want to go? Again and again, he says, but Satan did what? Stopped us. How many times did he stop him? Again and again. And if we think that he won't stop us, that he won't come with schemes to us to stop us from achieving what we're here to achieve, we you know what? We're very naive. We're silly little rabbits hopping into his stuff. And we need to have this opened up for us. So what he'll do is he'll come to you. He'll blind your eyes. He'll take the word of God away from you. He'll snatch it away. He'll steal the word of God. He'll set traps for us. And he'll stop us if he possibly can. Then number five, he has plans to destroy you. That's his ultimate purpose. His ultimate reason for doing anything is ultimately has a desire. He's looking for a way to destroy you. Here's what it reads in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be self-controlled and alert. Say alert. Alert. Need to be alert. Can't not talk about this stuff. Can't go to sleep on the supernatural. And be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls about. Your enemy, not God's enemy. Your enemy. Hello. Your enemy, the devil, prowls about around like a roaring lion looking for someone to what? To devour. Now, this word translated devour here is captopino, like cappuccino, but captopino. And look what it means, kind of like that, to drink down, to gulp entire. I heard a preacher one time say that, oh, he's just a roaring old bully. He can't devour no one. He's got his teeth pulled. Jesus pulled his teeth. And it was just a short time later. Everybody, and the crowd went wild. You know, the crowd goes wild. Yay! Amen, brother. And just a short while later, this guy is totally devoured. Ministry just done. Listen, he's looking for a way to devour you. He wants to devour you. He wants to make your testimony negative. He wants to disqualify your stand for Christ. He wants to devour your children with drugs and sex and rebellion. He wants to devour your business. He wants to devour your marriage, cause you to fuss and fight. He wants to devour your finances. He wants to cause you to always be in debt so that you can't give to the kingdom of God and so that you're always bickering and fighting with your spouse about money. He's got schemes and ways that he wants to devour you, disqualify you, end your relationship with your friends, mess that up. He wants to devour your relationship and mess your relationship up with God if he possibly can. He doesn't want you here. He's going to try to find ways to keep you from here. And if you get here, he wants to get mad at somebody. Get mad at the preacher. Get mad at somebody. He finds ways to stop us, and he wants to devour us and destroy us if at all possible. So how do we battle against those things? Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18, the weapons that we have been given. Let me read this to you. It's Ephesians 6:13, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Paul explains how to not be defeated by the devil. He used a euphemism of a Roman soldier's armor. He goes from head to toe. You need the salvation, the helmet of salvation through Jesus Christ, which covers and protects your mind and your thoughts. You need the breastplate of righteousness to guard your heart. You need to be belted with truth, not with religious doctrine. You need to walk in peace. You must have the shield of faith, which will quench all the thoughts and all the fiery darts of the evil one. You must be able to expertly use the Word of God as a soldier used a sword to both defend and to attack. We must pray in the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to say a lot about this here today, but many of you need to learn to pray in the Spirit, which is different from praying in your understanding. That's why Paul said, pray with all kinds of prayers, but pray always in the Spirit. These are your weapons. Without them, you have no defense against the devil's schemes, and you will constantly experience defeat after defeat. But with them, you will experience victory after victory. Let the armor of God, we're at His mercy. We have no way to defend ourselves or to protect ourselves from His schemes. We're at His mercy. And most likely, we'll end up with a destroyed or a messed up life. Now, I want to tell you about a really cool story that's in the Bible. It's an interesting thing to me. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6, and it's in the time of Elisha. Israel was at war with the king of Aram, and I want to read this to you. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. It says, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. How many of you have ever said something like, "Oh, my Lord," or "Oh, my God, what are we going to do?" He says to them, the servant asked, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are what? More than those who are with them. Oh, my Lord." Seems you're outnumbered, that the enemy's got you down. Seems like it's over. You're just in a mess. But the Christ follower, the believer, should always know that there are more of us than there are of them. There are always more on our side than there is on that side. And if we do it correctly, we can always escape from the traps of the devil. The next verse says in 2 Kings 6:17, it says this, "And Elisha prayed, O Lord," do what? "Open his eyes so he may see." Open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha, all around. God's angels and God's warriors were all around because he was able to see what was really happening in another world, in an unseen world. What I really want us to do over the next couple of weeks, if we possibly can, is I want to do what Elisha did for this guy. I want to help us all get our eyes open so that we can see what's really going on, have a better understanding of the Holy Spirit. That's supernatural. Maybe I have a better understanding of the devil. That's supernatural. Maybe have a better understanding of angels and how they partake and participate in each of our lives. That's supernatural. I want to help us open our eyes so that we can see what's really going on. But today, I want you to know you're in a war. It doesn't matter if you want to be or not. You're in one. If you're alive and on this world, in this world, you're in a war. I want you to know that the devil has great plans for you. Great plans to destroy you. And it's devised in a heavenly realm, in a spiritual world, in an unseen world. It's put together to come against you. And he's going to come at you with all kinds of schemes, all kinds of schemes. He's going to blind your eyes so that you can't see and understand the Word of God. He's going to snatch it away from you once you've heard the Word of God. He's going to come up with ways to trap you and bait you and get you into his trap. He's going to come up with ways to stop you, to stop you from experiencing the full life that God wants you to have. He's got plans and schemes for you. And if he possibly can, he's going to destroy you and your family and your marriage and your finances and your children and your grandchildren. You need to have opened eyes. You need to see what's going on in the spiritual dimension. Some of you right now are in a battle. You're in a struggle. You're battling at home. Are you battling with your children? Are you battling at work? Are you battling with your finances? Are you battling with your health? You're in a battle right now. And it's satanic. It's coming from a spiritual world. I want to help you open your eyes so that you can know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Let's pray. Father, I pray for each person here today. I ask you to help us open our eyes. How many of you right now, heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you right now are in a battle and you know, man, this really could be something going on that I really can't see with my natural eyes. I just know that I'm in this struggle. I'm in this struggle and it keeps happening to me. It's schemes, it's plans of the enemies. And every time I want to try to get myself straightened out, man, here comes another plan, here comes another scheme, something up again. How many of you would raise your hand right where you're sitting and let me pray for you right now? See, hands, just about everybody in here. Father, thank you for opening our eyes, letting us understand this. Let us understand, Lord, that the enemy is coming against us to stop us, to destroy us, to blind us, to steal from us. Father, I ask you right now in Jesus' name that you'll help us open our eyes and so we can put on the armor of God and we can come against and still be standing and in good shape after the attack's over. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Now, maybe you have gotten away from God. You don't feel his presence like you once did, and you really want to. Or maybe you've never received him as your Lord and your Savior. Listen, you don't have a chance. You're at his mercy. You're going to experience defeat after defeat after defeat. But that's not God's will for you. He wants you to be set free. He wants you to experience a great life, a wonderful life. I want to pray for you too. Maybe you've gotten away from God, and it's time now to come back. Or maybe you've never received him as your Lord and Savior, but you're going to say, I want to do it. I really do want to get my life right. I want to have a victorious life. I want to understand this stuff. If that's you, I want to pray for you right where you're sitting. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you just right where you're sitting right now? That's you. I see your hand over here. Any other? Any others? Yes, one more over there. I see. Any other? Any others? Any others? Any others? Man. Father, thank you.